You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 461. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. What do you do when everything in your business looks fine on the outside, but inside something feels off? What do you do when the strategy stops working, the passion dries up, the alignment disappears, and the only thing you know for sure is you can't keep going the way you're going? Hey there, everyone. It's obviously just Ange here, and welcome back to another awesome podcast episode with me, your host, business consultant, speaker, and podcaster. And today we're going to be talking about how to pivot with confidence when things fall apart. And I'm joined by someone who has walked this path in a big way, the incredible Katie O'Connell. Katie built her business, first business, the traditional way, big teams, big overheads, big pressure, and massive external success. She launched over 100 brands worldwide, led campaigns for ASX-listed companies, and lived the do more, push harder, scale bigger model. But behind the scenes, Katie realized the real secret to a thriving business was not more hustle, but in fact, it was more alignment. And now today, Katie helps women simplify their business model, build magnetic brands, and step into the version of themselves they've been hiding, all while creating the income and impact they desire. In this episode, we're diving into the early signs that someone is no longer in alignment, the cost of ignoring these signs, how to make big decisions when everything feels shaky, how to trust yourself in the middle of a pivot, and how to rebuild self-trust after a season that breaks you open. If you're in a crossroads moment, if you're questioning your direction, if you feel like something is falling apart, so something else can fall into place, this episode is for you. So let's dive in. Hey, 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 welcome to the show, Katie.
Hey, Ange, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness, I'm super excited to have you on the podcast today. It's always funny, we are 15 minutes late, you could say, from hitting record because we've been chatting away. And that's what I love about meeting new people. You and I have only just recently become familiar with each other when we were invited to a seven-figure business lunch. And I saw you across the room and I was like, there's something about that lady's energy. I've got to connect. And then we connected. And I was like, you got to come on the podcast. So I'm thrilled that you are here today.
Oh, that's so nice to say. Thank you so much. And I'm same as you. I just look at the stuff that you're doing and I'm like, wow, it's incredible. So thanks for having me.
Gosh, no, so excited. Now, today we're talking about pivoting in business. So I want to start because I know you are a bold, fierce leader. That's how I interpret you. Amazing human, kind spirit, etc. But there are times in business and life when we've got to make a pivot. So just to start out, because this is what our whole conversation is going to be about today, can you share with us a time when you needed to pivot in your business just to give us some context?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the biggest one that comes to mind is really around like pivoting from my agency to more of like a personal brand, like speaker, teacher, that type of thing. And it really culminated with just having kids. That was kind of really the trigger for me. So I had my daughter, and I was never like the maternal type, you know. I was never one of those people that were like, couldn't wait to have kids and whatnot. Like I was very much like, how soon can I get back to work after kids? like I went into labor early and I was still like doing handover Loom videos to my team being like, that was kind of what I was like. And so then it kind of really like knocked the wind out of my sails to just really realize like, wow, how obsessed I was like with this little human that came along, you know, and how much it changed me. And I know everyone says that, but I just really didn't think it would.
Yes.
And it just did. And I just no longer wanted to be going into the office all the time and like all these things, like going to events all the time, whatever. And So that started the shift where I was like, okay, how can I consolidate and simplify? But it was still the same agency. It wasn't completely changing. It was just like, let's consolidate, let's simplify. Like I let go of some team members, I made things a lot simpler. And then we decided to move to the Sunshine Coast. So that had always been a dream. And I think I was very naive making that decision because like all of the business that I had and all the work that I had came from like networking and referrals. And I think moving, I was like, I'll just fly back like once a month so I can kind of keep that going. But then literally the day that I arrived in the Sunshine Coast, which was when it was Elsie, my eldest, was 10 months old. And that same day, I'd just driven from Sydney to Sunshine Coast, like boxes everywhere. I was like, oh my God, have I made the right decision? Like this is wild. So much change is happening. And I was feeling a bit funny. And then unpacking my box, I found a pregnancy test, did it. And I was like, I was pregnant.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and I was just like, holy shit, what are we going to do? Because like my husband had just said it, he had just given up his career like 3 months after Elsie was born, and he started a completely new career and was working for himself. And then we were in this new place and just like all this stuff happening. And I was like, oh fuck, like what am I going to do? And I just realized like, so that was fine, but like I'm working through all this stuff still. So I'm like still pivoting, I would say. And I think that's good to talk about in a way, because I think a lot of people, including myself in the past, wait until like we're on top of the mountain again to then share that we were struggling or that we aren't sure of our direction, that we're going through a process. And it's like rather than sharing the things that are happening in the moment. And I think there's a lot of beauty to be shared from just the raw realness of like what's actually
100%.
unraveling. And so it's still unraveling for me, but I went in, well, when I was pregnant, I was like, okay, I need to make sure I've got like enough income coming in so I can take maternity leave, all that. And I actually, so instead of like slowing down when I was pregnant, I like went really hard to like change direction and like scale the agency and like all of this stuff, because that was just, I don't know, that was just like my go-to reaction. And it was, so I was trying to do it for all the wrong reasons,
Out of
just
alignment.
completely out of alignment. It was like a means to an end kind of a thing. And because I'm a marketer, it's like, you know, I'm like, well, then I'll just do this. This is the funnel reverse engineer. Do this is what I'll do, and bang, you know, forgetting that it's not just about the strategy, it's also the alignment and the messaging and the, and I don't mean just messaging as in good copywriting. I mean, is it like from your heart and can people feel the energy behind it? And so that was a complete, like, that just did not work. Even though everything on paper looked great, I was running ads, I was getting great cost per lead, I was getting great calls booked, great cost per call, all that. But then it was like the niche I was going after and just the offer. Like, people were kind of coming on the calls, and I would be dreading getting on a call before the call. And I'd be like hoping they didn't show up. And then I'd be on the call and I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to work this person. You know? And like, so anyway, that all just fell apart. And then had my son. And I was like, you know, really just like, what do I do next? Because this is not working. I can't do an agency. It's all time for money. It's all deadlines. I cannot like work in that business model. And so I put a lot of thought into like what I wanted to really teach and all the lessons I had learned from over the years, like of scaling other coaches and experts to like growing their brand and helping them really build their name. And I was like, how can I do that for myself and help other people do that? So I created a program. And so for the past year, I've been running like a program, which is so much easier because it's not all time for money and it's not deadlines, and I can still share my genius, but in a more simplified way. And yeah, it's just been a huge shift.
Dude. So again, but you've, like you said, there's a few things that I want to unpack a little bit. Is one, as you said, it's still unraveling, right? And I think that is really important for us to consider because so often we think that once you pivot once or you start a pivot, that's the end. But more often than not, I can feel, and funny enough, it's the year of the snake. So they talk often about the shedding, right, of the snake
100%.
skin. And I feel sometimes it's like you started the shed with a pivot, but it wasn't completely finished yet. And it can, and
No.
that's the thing is too, is like, I think so many of us do run a lot of from masculine energy just because of society naturally. But then we forget that shedding. There's no time frames for when the shedding's completely done. It might, some people can shed things and pivot really quickly, 2 to 3 months, even weeks sometimes, where other people, that journey can be 2 or 3 years. And again, there's no
Absolutely.
wrong or right way. So first, I think that's a really cool thing that we got to talk about. The second thing that I want to talk about is you did mention a couple little things, like you said, in relation to specifically like the earliest signs that you're like, something's not right. no longer in alignment. And you said, like, for example, you're like, great, I've got the discovery calls, but you're like, fuck me, dreading getting on the call, almost even dreading making money, you could say, because you're just like, this is not fun anymore. This is heavy. You talked about less networking. So you even were like doing less, getting out there and putting yourself out there. Did you, like, on hindsight now, do you think, like, by maybe ignoring some of those symptoms or signs at the beginning, did that cost you anything? Like, did it cost you emotionally, financially, or energetically by ignoring those, like, early warning signs?
Look, I really believe, like, everything happens for a reason, and I had to almost make life harder for myself this year to get the lesson. So in that regard, no, but in the just if you were just but like yes at the same time, but I needed that, you know. And I think that's the big thing about pivoting too, is that, like, even if things do go wrong or something happens or whatever, it's like each part is a learning. It's not just the initial pivot that's the learning, it's like the unraveling afterwards. It's like really looking at, like, okay, there's more that I need to understand here, you know, and not judging yourself for not getting the lesson just in one go. And but it definitely did. I mean, like, you know, looking back now, I'm like, you know, that was such a fear response and such a masculine fear-based, control-based, responsibility-based response, which is all stems back to my childhood. And I've done a lot of work on that. And I really see that pattern very clearly now, because I had to take a lot of responsibility growing up for things that were completely not my responsibility. And so I do look back and I'm like, God, I didn't even consider just even like sitting down with my husband at the time being like, what are our options? You know, like I went into like, right, there's a baby coming. My husband's in a new career. I need to fix this. I need to make more money. I need to fix this. I need to control everything. I need to be the one that saves the day. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Without even questioning that. So I do look back and think, like, why did I do that? But on saying that, like, if I had that conversation and we're like, oh, you know what, maybe it's not the best time for you to be starting your business now, and he hadn't done that, then, like, also, like, I'm like, you know, like, yes, it's been tough, but he's in a career he loves and it's like really thriving now and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't like regret, but I do definitely look at the lessons and how I can, like, maybe not have a fear response in the future, and how I can really shift those, like, limiting beliefs of, like, responsibility and, like, that I have to always be the one to carry the load.
Which leads me to my next question. Like, if you, let's just say you have, because I think also too, intuition is a big part of our world. And I think we're almost taught not to lean into our intuition. And I think it's a skill that we actually, as women collectively, business owner or not, we really have to almost relearn. I feel like we have it when we're little, and then it goes away because we don't strengthen it. And then we've got to pull it back. I like to pull it back, that intuition. But let's just say in 6 months from now, you're like, you get this intuition, you get this hit, and you're like, ooh, I've had, my body remembers this. There's something that's come. What questions would you ask yourself now to start unpacking whether or not you're in alignment or not?
Yeah. So for me, I've started really leaning into, like, my human design, and I'm a manifesting generator. So I'm the type of person that I should pause a little bit and then go with my gut. And also, I like to do things that energize me and in bursts. And also, I'm the type of human design where things should be presented to me, you know? And I feel like that's been so true with anything that's gone well in my life. It's been something that has just fallen on my lap almost. And it's anything that I've tried to force in my life or tried to push for that has given me the most pain. And so now it's the lens of, like, have I gotten multiple signs about this? Have I gotten, like, you know, so I'll give you an example. Like, this year, myself and my husband, because we also invest in property, and we were thinking we wanted to invest in, like, a commercial space. And so I was like, yeah, like, I'd love to have a commercial space, like a studio. I'd love to do photo shoots and events there and everything like that. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So then we were, like, looking at commercial spaces to do that. And then I went and actually rented a similar kind of space for the day. And I did that for a few weeks just to go in and get the vibe and be like, if I own this, like, would I love it? And I actually realized after a few times, like, no, like, it's fun and it's cool, but I wouldn't want to be stuck in here, like, 7 days a week. And if I had bought somewhere like that for myself, I'd feel like I have to be there to make it work. Worth it?
Yes.
Whereas, like, I want to be with my kids, you know? So that was really interesting. So we kind of forgot about that idea. Then we came across this beautiful property on acreage that, like, was, we were thinking maybe we'll buy this as a home. And it was big enough that I could maybe build, like, a content and event space studio at the back type of a thing. And we were actually going to go for that, but we lost out on auction. And then, so I completely just let go of the whole everything. I was like, look, it's obviously not meant to be. Like, just let's just park the whole thing.
Sure.
And then, so I also think that's important, that surrender, that it's like, you're not like, it's like, yeah, this seems right. And then you go for it. But it's like, there's not that attachment to be like, you know, like we lost out an auction. It's like, okay, I just let it go. I wasn't like trying to, I don't know, maybe old me would have been like calling the person that got it, being like trying to negotiate more. Like, I don't know. But like, you know what I mean? Really trying to like make shit happen. But it's
Yes.
like, okay, that wasn't like meant to be. And then a couple of weeks later, just my husband just forwarded me an email from an agent that they just put this property, he just found this other property, commercial space. It was like perfect for kind of what we wanted to do, but it was even nicer. It was like 10 minutes from us. And the number of the building was 1111.
Oh, perfect.
And I was just like, if this isn't like a sign, I don't know what is. And then it was also, the road was called Bartlett Road. And I was like, Diary of a CEO, Stephen Bartlett, like,
Ha.
this is what we want to build. And then, so it's like, okay, this looks really cool. But then we needed a partner to go in on it with us. So we reached out to someone that we thought might, but I was like very also unlikely that he will. Anyway, he came back and he was like, look, I'm interested in the commercial side, but maybe not the studio. So I was like, okay, well, maybe we just get it with him and see if we can do the studio later. And then I was like, no, you know what? This is something I really feel strongly about. Why not put my best foot forward with this? And so I made a business plan. I like did a lot of work to be like, this is the projected revenue. This is what we could do. Da, 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 sent it over. Anyway, he got right on board and was so passionate about it. And then
So
we,
awesome.
yeah, we put an offer on. It got accepted. Like it just, all of this happened within 3 weeks. And for me, it's like anything like that that happens so quickly and that everything falls into place, I'm like, this is 100% in alignment. And I still don't know, but I also have to lean into the uncertainty of like, I don't know exactly how it's going to work. I don't know exactly what we're going to offer from there. And even next year, like I'm going to be pivoting my brand to incorporate more in person, but I don't exactly know what my offers are going to be or what I'm going to do yet or anything. There's a lot of stuff that's still unknown, and I have to just trust that like it'll all be revealed and it'll all come to life. But the point I want to make on that, I guess, is that like you do still need an element of like putting intention into it, like the way that I did that business plan. So it's like there is intention. It's not like fuck it, let's see what happens. Like there is intention, but there's just not that like strangled attachment.
100%. And that I think is so important. And you use the word surrender. It's something that's, again, we're not taught to surrender. We are taught to, you know, stand our ground, hold it, we're right, you're wrong, whatever. But when you can surrender and have ease and flow, you sleep better. You have better
Yeah.
connections with people. Your business is better. I'd even argue your health and your nervous system is better, right?
Yeah.
So being able to surrender. And I also think the other thing there that you said is sometimes we don't have everything figured out, but you have enough figured out and enough trust that you know that it's not going to go bad. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. We're just like,
It makes complete sense.
it's
Yeah.
like you just know, like it, I guess for me, as I go, it's for example, with the Healing Center of Australia that we have, we're in kind of phase one. We've launched it. We haven't got into the corporates as quickly as we would like because obviously I have custody of my kids full time this year and a few other things. But I know failure is not an option. It will work out. It's not if, it's it will work out. I don't know when, but it will. And there's just this like innate belief in me and a full physical response that I'm like, this, it will be fine. And there's a
Yeah.
comfort there that you genuinely know versus, like you said, you're at a bar drinking, fuck it. Do you know what I mean? Throw $10,000 on red. There's not a lot of thinking behind that. You just kind of do it. And but with you, it's like you said, there was the intention behind it. There were signs also for you and for what you believe in that were also coming along the way. But I also believe in divine timing, that everything is happening for us at exactly the right time.
Exactly.
And not manipulating and going into that masculine. And like you said, running after the person to try to see if you could find who the buyer was, right? Just going like, it's happening for us. But, and I also think that when you're able to reflect that it's happening for us, not happening to you type scenario, is that like you just like, again, there's just this peace with it versus like this anger or resentment or whatever. What are your thoughts? Before we continue with this episode, I want to ask you something. If someone asked you, are you a speaker? What would you say? Now, before you dismiss that, you're already speaking. You're speaking in sales conversations, you're speaking on Zoom calls, you're speaking in rooms where decisions are being made about your business. The real question isn't, are you speaking? but rather, are you still doing the talking without the payoff? That's why I'm excited to share our 2026 gold sponsor for my 3-day Women in Business Conference, Jacqueline Brooker, founder of The Business of Speaking. Jacqueline teaches founders how to turn their expertise into bookable assets, paid stages, and speaking-driven revenue streams. This isn't about hype or manifesting a keynote. It's about positioning, structure, and commercial strategy. If you've ever thought, I know my work is powerful, but I'm not landing the right opportunities, this is for you. Jacqueline has gifted my audience her free guide, The Paid Speaker One-Sheet Swipe Files, showing you exactly how to position yourself so event organizers and decision makers see you as worth paying. You can download it now at businessofspeaking.com.au/swipefiles4ang. Again, that URL is businessofspeaking.com.au/swipefiles4ang. If you're ready to speak like your business depends on it, start here by heading to Jacqueline's URL, businessofspeaking.com.au/swipefiles4ang. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like just, it's all about the lens you look at it with, right? Because it's like, I mean, you can't fail if you don't quit. So if you have that mindset that it's not a black and white, did it work or not? And it's more of a redirection. And you trust that, like, even if everything with the studio goes tits up next year, you know, maybe, okay, there's something greater that we should do in that space. You know, maybe, I mean, look, I'm sure I'd have a bit of a meltdown, but I then, like, you know, would like, it's not like I'm like, oh, whatever. Like, I'm sure, of course, like things bother me, you know, if it doesn't go my way and whatnot. But like, then I'll be like, okay, why is this happening? What's this teaching me? And I've had to do like a lot of work this year in particular around safety and just like feeling safe and feeling trust. And that's been like massive for me because that's not my natural state.
And what type of work did you do in order to be able to help rebuild that trust and that safety?
Oh, so much stuff this year. Like, I've done 2 really powerful plant medicine ceremonies. I've done hypnotherapy for like majority of the year. You know, talking with my coach, like, and work on my relationship, because actually, you know, like, I actually needed to do a lot of work on my relationship to feel safe within that relationship to then be able to, you know, feel safe within the other areas of my life as well. And I know that, like, that could sound funny, like feel safe within your relationship. It's not like, you know, there's any aggression there or anything like that, but it's not about that. It's more, it's like really subtle, really subtle things that are happening. Like things like, you know, not being able to rely, like, you know, say if you're a partner or whatever, like my partner is like not the best with timekeeping, it's always late and things like that. But like deep down, I was kind of like making that mean like he doesn't like care or like I can't fully rely on him, which is so silly. It's just being late, it's not a big deal. But there was just a part of me that was like, that was actually affecting my safety, which yeah, sounds funny, but it's like that was just something that I had to kind of work through. And so there's like small little things, and a lot of it is related to like your experience as a child, that like, 100%. You know, if you had an unreliable parent or something like that, it can be triggered then by, you know, people with small little acts, but they just, yeah. So that actually was a pivotal part for me. And even just like, I remember talking to my coach about things, and she, like, you know, she'd be like, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? I'm like, what do you mean what's the worst could happen? Like, I could lose all of our money. Like, we could, all of our properties could be taken off us. Like, you know, like this could happen, that could happen. Like all the worst case scenarios of if everything was to like burn to the ground. And she's like, and what then? And what then? You know what I mean? I'm like, well, then, like, you know, like another COVID could come, or like, you know, the world just like goes, like, you know, some sort of like crazy like recession comes, and then this comes back. And she's like, and what then? Like, then everyone's fucked, right? And I'm like, yeah, I guess actually then everyone's fucked. So do you know what I mean? Like, so I really had to just be like, do you know what? Like, we're all just living on this like floating planet that like we could all drop dead at any time during the day. Like, there is no safety. Like, no. If you think about it like that, you know, but also there's safety in knowing that you kind of don't have control over that, and just that, like, there's nothing you can do to, even if you have all the money and all the everything, it's that just, that's not what makes you safe.
100%. Absolutely. But I get the safety thing, because I too have done an enormous amount of hypnotherapy, working with other different spiritual healers, etc. And, you know, I too have things, again, and it does normally come from either, you know, they call it big trauma, little trauma, T1, T2 type trauma that comes into place. And we all have some level of it, especially with 97% of the decisions that we make come from, do I feel safe? Do I belong? And am I enough? And it's not necessarily, again, our logical brain isn't saying, I feel safe today or I feel unsafe today, but our body, there's a really great book called Your Body Keeps Score. Your body doesn't ever not remember what happened as a kid or an adolescent or a young woman or a young man. Do you mean? And so it is so important to be able to go back and look at those things, because if you don't take time to go on a healing journey, it will impact your business. It will impact your relationships and it will impact your whole world, both in business and life. So good on you, because not a lot of people will do that journey. They will put it to the side or on the to-do list. Whereas to me, it's so important. Now, I do think, though, I always say there's a caveat. I think I've seen people go down the healing journey to the point of almost toxic spirituality, where they think that they're like never going to be fully healed. So they're always doing something. And I don't necessarily think that's healthy either, because we're never going to be completely healed. But when you have the time to reflect and have insight to make some changes, so much goodness comes. So good on you, Dinamine, for going down that journey.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. I mean, that's what I like, you know, a lot of it was done by choice, but some of it was also not by choice. It's just from like things going so wrong that I'm like, fuck, I need to fix it. I need to like try another way, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And sometimes the traditional quote unquote societal way is not the way, right? And that's like why I think it's so important that there's always another avenue. For people, you don't have to do it the one way, whether or not that's business strategy, whether or not that's healing, whether or not that's dieting, whether or not that's health, right? Like there's always other ways that you can find for you. Now, I do have a question though, as we talk about the societal pressure and things like that, there's a lot of external noise at times from our industry, the pressure that we have from our industry, people comparing, people pleasing, right? So in your moments of when you were pivoting, how did you tune out some of this external noise?
I mean, there's always, there's always going to be that noise to an extent, and, you know, and looking at kind of what else is going on around you. And I guess it's from actually just falling into the trap of anytime I do that, that it's kind of bitten me in the bum, you know? So it's probably like a combination of learning the hard way, as well as just feeling like an innate need to have space, like whether that's going to a sauna for an hour or going for a walk by myself on the beach, or like I'm one of those psychopaths that drives with no music and nothing on in the car. Like I like to just have blank space to think, even like a yin yoga class. And I find that's just when things come through for me and I kind of get the downloads. So yeah, I think that's probably the best way for me to like really cut out that external noise, is to really sit with myself and to actually have spaciousness. And you know, so often people just fill their lives, cram it full with like, you're going from this to that to the other to the other to the other, you know, and not actually, even when you have the downtime or the self-care time, it's like trying to fix something, or like, you know, you're like, I need to like do stretching, or I need to like do some massages to my face to get my face to look good, or like, you know, your downtime, you're trying to like marry it up with something productive that's like not work, but it's still something productive. It's not actually just rest. You know what I mean? You're like, so, or you just zone out and watch like a TV show or whatever. And there's time and a place for that, don't get me wrong, but it's like actually having time with nothing is just so good for the soul, and to really allow things to drop in that are really just coming to you from that expansive place and not just from your surroundings and what's happening around you.
I love that you brought that up, because we run silent retreats every year through the Healing Center of Australia. And I can tell you, and we go to our own also for our own healing, when you're give yourself the ability to disconnect and allow your brain, in my opinion, the space and the reset. And I know that's a big word at the moment, reset and recharge, but genuinely allow your brain your opportunity to just stop having to be firing all the freaking time. There is beyond clarity that comes from that. You change as a human at, I believe, a cellular level, literally, because you cut everything out and everything. Like, I think it's, we have 70,000 plus thoughts every day that run through our brain. That's so many. And I would suspect for women in business and women in business with children, that would even be magnified 100%, because the decision fatigue is real. So I love that you've brought in up the importance of silence. But yet society, a lot of people will not feel safe in silence. If you look at kids who have potentially been abused, domestic violence situations, things like that, where they're built on chaos, for example, that when you sit in silence and you know something is coming, that uneasy feeling, it doesn't cope with a lot of people's nervous systems. So again, sitting in silence, it's something that, again, I think we've got to strengthen in ourselves as a society. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's good.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, for anyone listening that is like that, it can't just know it can be done. Cause I was the exact same. Like I used to like get up and leave yoga before Shavasana started. Cause I was like, I can't just sit there for 5 minutes. I would leave at the end of the exercises. Cause I was like, I can't do that. And, you know, now that's such like, it's such a 180 to how I am now. So like it's something you can change. And it just takes some practice.
100%. And exactly. But it's just like change of business strategy. You can always do it if you choose to do it. And this is what I say is so many people will choose to ignore it. They'll just go next. And then these problems fester, et cetera. So no, change. And I always say, whatever you're not changing, you are choosing. So choose wisely. So now if you think about the pivots that you've done in your life, for example, and with every pivot, like you said, there's lessons, there's hindsight, there's all of that. But then sometimes there's trust, and sometimes we've got to rebuild that self-trust. So I'm curious to know if you've ever had to rebuild your self-trust after a season where everything felt like it was falling apart. How did you do that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, it's hard to even think exactly what it was, because I think it's like, it's a series of things that you do. But I think it's also just like uncoupling, you know, trusting yourself with just say one area of your life, such as business. You know, sometimes we can just equate like a business failure or something that we're struggling with financially or something like that, and then take that to be like the whole person. You know, so I think it's also trying to just really have some like self-compassion and self-forgiveness and realize that you are a whole person. And it's not any one area of your life is you. And just looking at like trying to even look at the positives and like, where are things going right? You know, where are things going right for you? And like, even if something fell apart over here, did that open a door for you in another part of your life? And how can you have gratitude for the things that have actually gone wrong as well, and not look at them as mistakes, but look at them as like, you know, redirection? And like, I've been really loving some of David Guillaume's work. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. So he's a Kabbalah teacher, but he talks about like in any moment where things aren't going right, or, you know, things like that, or you're triggered, you know, he says, pause, what a gift. And it's like just taking a pause and then just saying, what a gift, what a gift someone just cut me off in traffic, because it's allowed me to actually get conscious again, take a deep breath, and just refocus where I am. You know, like just everything. It's just like, or it's given me the opportunity to not get angry. I just didn't get angry there. I'm proud.
Ooh, I love that.
You know, so it's like choosing to have that lens. I think the lens of as to what you how you look at yourself is a really big factor, because you could take someone having the same situation, and depending on how you look at it, you'll have totally different outcomes and people. Like, you, it's like how you see kids that have gone through the same, you know, trauma and shit in their life, in their childhood, but they've dealt with it differently. Like, one is a drug addict and one is, you know, thriving and whatever they're doing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and obviously that's very simplified. There's more to it, but it's like, it's more about the response that you have. Than the stimulus sometimes.
Yep. No, so good. And I love, what was the name of that gentleman again?
David Guillaume.
David, all right, good. No, I like that. I like the pause. What a gift. Because even just saying it, there's a calming sensation versus like, you know, going to go punch someone, right? There's calmness in that statement. So that's a cool way of looking at things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, for those listeners that are like, this has been good, they know a little bit about you, what is happening in your world for 2026? How can listeners who are wanting to connect with you, where can they find you? And what are you getting up to this year?
Yeah, sure. So the best place to connect with me is on Instagram on under KDO, so KADY underscore OH. And yeah, it's funny because like I'm not actually selling anything right now. Like I have nothing to offer you except advice and tips and content. I've got a podcast called Scene, and I will be relaunching my program next year under the brand Scene. And
Fantastic.
I'll be opening 1111 Studios later in the year. We'll be doing Scene experiences, so bringing women together to like actually get like build their brand in person, like everything from styling their wardrobe to knowing how to pose, getting content right through to the inner work and confidence that allows them to actually build their brand. Because basically, like the past year, I've been really working with people, like helping them to get clients, like helping with their strategy, all of those things. And that's been amazing. And I've had great clients and great success stories. But what I've realized doing that work is that the thing that holds most people back isn't just the tactics, it's like the confidence to actually put themselves out there. They don't feel a self-worth to be seen. They don't have the relationship with their partner to like, express themselves. And so if they can't even express themselves in their own home, how can they express themselves online to strangers? Like, it's all these undercurrents of things. Even people like, oh, I'd love to do a reel, but what do I wear? Like, how do I stand? And even though it sounds like, oh, is that just a frivolous thing? Like, how do you style your hair? But like, if that's going to help you actually get out there. So it's like next year, I'm wanting to just marry the two. It's like, yes, I'll still do the strategy and help you get clients, help you build your brand. But I also want to look at the whole person and really look at those things that allow you to connect to your purpose and make sure that you're not just creating a strategy that like you're going to end up hating that business. It's like, is that your soul aligned purpose and really infusing those things together? So it's interesting. This is like the first time in my life where I'm just giving myself permission to marinate for a month or two. Like I'm pretty clear what my next direction is, and my go-to usually would be like, okay, great. Like I've got it all done in a week and I've planned the whole relaunch. But I'm like, no, let's just take some space and see what drops in to make it like even juicier, because I'm like, I know it's all there. I know it's all coming. There's no rush. Let's take a break. Let's enjoy the holidays with my kids, and let's just really create from a place of like just like dripping with inspiration. Do you know what I mean? Like,
So
and
good.
yeah, so that's kind of my plan. But it'll be seen, it'll be the seen experiences, but coming soon how that's all going to come to life.
Oh, fantastic. But for now, I'd strongly encourage you to follow Katie over on Instagram. And then as she starts to unfold, what do I say? As everything starts to unfold in this very juicy and delicious way, you'll be the first to know about it. So make sure you head over to her Instagram account and follow her there. Now, one final question that I always like to ask my guest is, thinking back on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
I think that's literally, it's just what we've been talking about. It's that trust and just trusting myself to have the answers versus looking externally for the answers. Because at the end of the day, like there is no perfect strategy or like this works better than that or that works, but like everything works. You do a webinar, it works. You do ads, it works. Like all of these things can work, and you can find people, that have made all these different things work. And people get so caught up on like, should I do a low ticket offer, a mid ticket offer, a high ticket offer? Should it be for this or that or the other? And it's like, who fucking cares? It all works. Just pick something that actually you align with and that you want to do and that you are lit up by, So that's what I wish I had just followed more.
I love it. I mean, you're preaching that because my thing is all of those things work contingent you're in alignment with the strategy versus doing the strategy because someone on Instagram did it and they said it worked. And then that, but even though you dread thinking about even doing step one of the strategy, it's like those should be the signs, right? That you're probably already out of alignment, but then they keep pushing forward. So I love that we've talked about alignment today because the more you're in alignment, the more you trust yourself, the more you'll be able to just live this juicier, healthier life in both business and just, I mean, in general. So thank you so much today for being on the podcast today. It is always a pleasure connecting with other epic women. So thank you for your awesomeness. And for you, my friend out there listening to the podcast today, I hope you have an amazing day no matter where you are in the world. And I look forward to you joining me again for another awesome episode of the Angela Henderson Online Business Show. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.